In the last two verses that Michael read, Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, God spoke about finding an animal. The animal that he spoke of, though, was not just any animal. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 4, God said, if you find an animal which has gone astray. And he said, if this stray animal belongs to an enemy. If you're out, regardless of the circumstance, and you find this animal strayed away, even though it belongs to an enemy, God said, you take it back. Verse 5, as we look at that final verse that was read, it describes a different set of circumstances, and you should see in your translation a much different word. Rather than have the word enemy in verse 5, as we have in verse 4, verse 5 uses the word hate. We may have an enemy, verse 4, we may have someone who hates us. And God used these two animals, these two words in conjunction with animals. In verse 5, you have a slightly different situation. In verse 5, the animal may have strayed, may not have strayed. But God said in verse 5, the animal is under a load. It's under a burden. Lying under its burden is another way of saying collapsed under its load. Now, if you have an animal, such as a donkey, and it has collapsed under its load, it might die. Or at least if it lives through the process, it might be permanently injured. Moses knew that these would be situations that God's people might encounter. So he said in that latter situation, you help that animal. The person may hate you, but it doesn't matter. The person may be your enemy, but that doesn't matter. Help the animal, take the animal back. A week ago, if you were here on Sunday morning, we began a series of studies in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It's there that the Apostle Paul said, bear one another's burdens. You fulfill the law of Christ by helping people. Two of the burdens that I see in our world, two of the big burdens that I see in our world, are summed up by the words hate and enemy. Hate and enemy. Exodus 23, 4 and 5. In the past, in the present, or maybe in the future, we may have someone who hates us, or we have someone who is our enemy. During the last week, as we were in school, maybe we were talking with someone in the neighborhood, maybe someone within our own family. Someone said, I hate him. I hate her. He is my enemy. She is our enemy. If you follow what's going on in our world right now, you know that we, a few weeks ago, had a presidential election. And that election, because our country is seriously divided, it may not be an even 50-50 split, but we have some serious differing beliefs in America. And that recent election has turned some friends into enemies. If you don't know that, that has occurred. And as you look at what some people are saying, whatever they thought about the election, whether they were for the president-elect or not, you find, as you look at our country, some very strong feelings, which, if they don't border on hate, they are hate. And people have actually turned friends into enemies. And unless something changes, and there is no sign of that that I see on the immediate horizon, that's going to continue and very possibly worsen. Hate and enemies, they're burdens. And not only do we find burdens with hate and enemies, we find great burdens. This morning we want to think about Exodus 23 verses 4 and 5, the ideas of hate and enemies or enmities, and divide it into three worlds, three points. First of all, we find that when we look at hate and enemies, they've been in the world for a long time. Secondly, when we think about the words hate and enemy, we find the Bible has a lot to say about both terms. Third, as we think about hate and enemies, Christians have a message. They have something to share with the people who are struggling with hate and enemies. When Jesus was on the earth, one of the things that he talked about was hatred. Jesus had some enemies, so as the Lord deals with people, he talks about what it means to have hate expressed to you and to be an enemy. You may remember that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, as Jesus was talking about the gospel, the impact that it would have in the world, he said, you're going to have some hate. You're going to have some friction. If you hold fast to my word, you're going to have some enemies within your own household. He knew that there would be some rifts because people would hold to the gospel. Faithfulness to God means rejection of the devil, and rejection of the devil has always been hated by some people. Jesus predicted enemies and hatred if people stand for what's right. And he's been proven right for more than 2,000 years. For the past several years, depending on who your friends are, depending on the various sources that you may have listened to, you may have found that there are some people, typically designated as liberals, who have denigrated those who would have a biblical or conservative mindset. It's been said for the last several years, as Christians have stood up for various moral issues, that they are intolerant, they're unloving, they're unkind, they need to be more compassionate. If you've looked at what's happened, though, in recent weeks, you find out who the people who really tolerant, the people that really tolerant people are, and the people who are not tolerant, who they are as well. Liberals. The people who have been shouting, oh, love one another, be more accepting, be more tolerant of people, are now spewing a lot of hate. A few days ago, I read some posts from someone who goes by the name Inclusive Heart. I thought, now this is going to be interesting. How inclusive is Inclusive Heart? Well, based on where I saw that screen name, I didn't figure that the person was going to be too inclusive, and that turned out to be true. Rather than be inclusive, the person was actually pretty exclusive. I had not looked at this before, but the person where the place where this person was posting the information is actually a site which has some pretty specific terms and conditions. They talk about on the site the rules of the road. And I found it interesting that as I read through the rules of the road, if you want to be a member of this site, if you want to participate in this site, the rules are basically this. You agree with us or we're going to exclude you. We're not just going to delete your comments. We're not just going to moderate your comments. We're not going to allow you to join unless you hold to these particular tenets. Now, for the most part, the people who have taken a conservative approach to life, the people who have professed Christianity, have never done that. They have stood for what's right. They've made known publicly their stance for what's right, but they've never espoused hatred. Certainly, they've never espoused things like violence. People like Inclusive Heart claim to be inclusive. They claim to be tolerant. They claim to be accepting. But really, it turns out that that's only true for those who are of the same mindset. Now, God's people have not always been happy about the way certain things have gone in society. Christians have sometimes spoken out publicly about their displeasure. But once again, we don't see from Christians as we look at the past the kind of intolerant behavior that we now see among many who would profess to be liberals. It is now, as we look at our world, you believe the way that I believe. You subscribe to the tenets that I hold to, otherwise I hate you. Otherwise we can't be friends. Otherwise you are my sworn enemy. Hatred and acrimony are terrible burdens, and they've caused people to do some terrible things. Listen to how Jesus described what hate and enmity caused a person to do in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. He sets forth another parable, Matthew 13, verse 24, and he says, but while men slept, here's the guy, maybe he's worked a hard day, and he's gone to bed. And Jesus says, as that man is sleeping, his enemy comes. What does an enemy do? In this case, Jesus said the enemy shows up, and he sowed tares, he sowed bad wheat, also among the wheat, and went away. And then finally that bad wheat comes to fruition. And the man can see what's happened, but an enemy may want to destroy, hurt, and damage. In the book of Acts, we have a lot of information as far as what enemies want to do and the meaning of hate. Before we can start helping others bear the burdens of hate and enemies, we, in our own lives, need to be prepared to deal with these two matters. If we're a Christian, how can we deal with hate? If we're a Christian, how can we deal with people who, in our mind, is an enemy, or people who look at us as an enemy? The first step, as I look at the scripture, is to ensure we have the right attitude. When you go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, you have a hint. You have an indication that when it comes to these two topics, we have to have the right attitude. Knowing God's will is the first step, and with that step, there is that attitude, there is that mindset that we're going to do what God has said. Let's think again about what we have in Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. You're a Jew. You're out there, perhaps, going through your regular work day. And maybe your work day involves you also have your animals. You have your donkeys with you. You have your oxen with you. Maybe you're plowing in the field. And as you look up, maybe you stop to take a break for a little bit. You notice that coming down the path, wandering in the field, is the oxen of somebody else. There's the donkey of somebody else. And you think, it's not convenient for me to take that man's donkey back. It's not convenient for me to go back and take that man's oxen. What am I going to do with my team? What am I going to do with my donkey? God said, it doesn't matter. That man may be your enemy, but whatever your circumstances, you as a child of God, you take that animal back. You ensure that it goes back to the owner. Taking an animal back to an enemy, as we think about that, could have not only been inconvenient, but it could have been dangerous. A few years back, we were knocking on doors in this area in an attempt to better reach some members of this community. About midway through the campaign, I believe it was on a Wednesday, There was a situation, the man that I was with, we were preparing to head across the street, and there was a fellow who was sitting outside his garage. He had a pretty good idea what we were doing, and he shouted across the way. There was no way to miss the language that he was using. He said, if you come onto my land, he said, I'll shoot you. He didn't display a gun, but I'm pretty sure that he would have followed through to one degree or another with the threat. He had an understanding of our message. He didn't want to hear it. God's people, Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5, as they were told to take that animal back, there may have been some people who were not favorably disposed because they were that enemy. And they didn't want to see that person. And God said, it doesn't matter. You still take the enemy back. You see, when it comes to dealing with enemies, when it comes to dealing with hatred, we've got to have, first of all, the right attitude. We want to do God's will. We want to deal with this in an effective way. Well, when it comes to God's will, when it comes to what Scripture says about enemies and hatred, what does God want from us? Well, we can turn back a little bit in the book of Matthew to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Some information, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes several points in one verse when it comes to dealing with enemies and the problem of hate. If you turn back there, the information I think is going to be very familiar to you, but we'll still read it anyway. Matthew chapter 5, seeing what Jesus had to say in verse 44. But the people knew how they'd been living. The people knew what they'd been taught. But Jesus comes along and he says, I'm going to tell you how it now needs to be. But I say unto you, he said, first of all, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to pray for them that persecute you. I want you to do good to the people who oppose you. Several points could be underlined from this passage. Number one, Jesus said, love your enemies. He didn't say simply tamp down your bad feelings about them. He didn't say forego revenge and try to pursue a neutral stance. That's what the world does. The Lord said, if you want to be my disciple, then this is how you need to live. You learn to love those who hate you. You want to love those who want the worst for you. Love the haters. Don't taunt them. Don't mock them. Do good to an enemy. And then Jesus said, you even go so far, if you want to be my people, you even go so far that you pray for the people who want to destroy you. That message was repeated by the Lord's apostles. You may remember from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Paul said, if your enemy, there's that word again, if your enemy is hungry, if your enemy is in need of something to eat, your enemy is in need of something to drink, Paul said, then you help him out. Give him something to drink. Give him something to eat. Now remember, back there in the Old Testament we started, Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, God said for that straying animal, you, if you're my person, you want to do what's right, you take that animal and you get it back, implied safely to your enemy. Verse 5, if someone hates you, very possibly an enemy as well, and you see that hater's animal under a burden, don't leave it. Don't rejoice and think, oh, he's going to lose that animal. It's going to be crippled for life. He's going to lose his burden. Somebody's probably going to come along and steal what was on the animal. God said, you don't do that. You go help out the animal. You help out, ultimately, that man. In the New Testament, the covenant under which we live, the emphasis is not on animals. We find an emphasis on animals in the Old Testament. But under the New Testament, it's still right. It would still be right to help the animal of someone who hates us, someone who is an enemy. But God says under the New Testament, let's now put some extra attention on people. It's said that Abraham Lincoln was once asked how he was going to treat the South after it became very clear that the South had lost the war. Lincoln, if the information is correct as far as the historical facts, when he was asked what he was going to do with those rebels, he said, I'm going to treat them as if they never left. Now, I like that. I like that because that's right. I like that because it's biblical. I will treat them as if they never left. There was hatred. People had become enemies. Families were split apart. But let's treat them as if they never left. Matthew 5, verse 44. Love the people. Do good to all people at all times, regardless of how they see us or treat us. We're coming to time of year when some people make New Year's resolutions. You may or may not like to make some resolutions for a new year. If you do, or if you've been thinking about what you might do for the coming year, I'd like to challenge you to do one which involves people who are enemies and hate. Think about all the people that you know. And there's some people that you certainly, surely know and love and appreciate so much. But as you think about all the people that you know, there are probably some people who are not all that high on the list of folks that you know. Think about all those individuals and try to identify the people who are at the bottom of that list. The people who may hate you. The people who may have bad feelings about you. Or perhaps the people who are a definite enemy, whether they see you in that way or you see them in that way. Think carefully about that individual for a little while. Consider how you feel towards him, her, or them. And then for the coming year, you have a little time to start working on this. When the year finally comes, resolve in 2017 to treat the haters, to treat the enemies as the Lord described. Now, we might not be in a position to have a lot of contact with those who hate us. Sometimes people try to put a lot of distance between themselves and their enemies and may only see them once a year, maybe not even that often. But every time we see that person who's a hater, every time we see that person that we somehow perceive to be an enemy, we can be as nice, we can be as thoughtful, we can be as kind and godly, and that in a sincere way as we can be. We can also, excuse me, every single day, or almost every day, pray for the people, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 44, who fall into that list. Unless a person is in the habit of praying the very same prayer, or essentially the words, time after time, their prayers will probably have some priorities. And generally, when people pray, what matters to them most will be a priority. It will be mentioned towards the top of the list, or be mentioned very often as the focus of a prayer. May I suggest, based on what we're looking at this morning, that when the new year comes, you will position yourself to be someone who prays for the people who hate you, the people who are your enemies. We have in this nation right now a fair number of people who have a strong hatred for God and spiritual things. I don't think that's the majority. But I would say that we do have a significant chunk of people who fall into that category. Anytime God's people stand up for what's right, there is going to be opposition. We know that to be true. Paul, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, he said, I've spoken the truth, and has that made you my enemy? He knew that the truth would upset people, just as Jesus predicted back in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. We know, because James said in James chapter 4, verse 4, the world is not God's friend. The world is God's enemy. If we're going to stand with God and for what's right, the world is also going to be our enemy. We're going to have some people who hate us, not because we're bad people, not because we're acting in a mean way, but simply because we've decided to stand for what's right. In fact, Jesus, not long before he went to the cross, John chapter 15, verse 18, he warned the apostles and ultimately us. He says, if the world hates you, he said it will. If the world hates you, or when the world hates you, he said, know that it hated me first. I've gone down that road. Jesus said, I've experienced the hate. I know what it's like to have enemies. And if you're going to follow me, you will have the burden of hate. You will have the burden of enemies as you go through life. When I start looking at some of the comments that people are now writing on the web, and you don't have to look very far. If you use any of the social networking sites, Facebook, Twitter, they're all over the web. Hear them on the radio. See them on the news. They're all over. We do have, at the present time, the problems of hate and people becoming enemies. And we have those problems because they've existed for a long, long time. Thus, as we live in a world where these problems exist, we need to make sure that we as individuals deal with them in the right way. But if we are Christian and we sort of get our own house in order, what about when someone comes to us and they start talking about the enemies they have? Or someone comes to us and says, I have hate in my heart. You can't believe how much I hate that person. Oh, I hate him so much, I just wish he'd be hit by a truck. I wish he would be killed before the day is out. Knowing how to respond to people is not difficult. If we have a Christian who comes to us and says, I'm struggling with this person as an enemy, I have great hatred for this person, we can help. We can go back and start to restudy what the Bible has to say about these two topics. We can also bear this in mind. We, at a certain time, if we become a Christian, were once an enemy of God. Do we realize that? Not that God hated us, but the Bible specifically says that before we became a Christian because of sin, we were God's enemy. Paul makes that clear in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And yet, how did a spiritual enemy of God, you and I, how did we resolve that matter? Well, the Bible says God loved us enough to give us time to repent and obey his plan for salvation. We can remind people that dealing with sins like hate, feelings of having an enemy, can take some time to overcome. And we can help fellow Christians deal with the burdens associated with enemies and hate. Somebody says, well, okay, I can understand how I might assist someone if he or she is a Christian. But what if someone at work or someone at school talks to me about an enemy, and that person is not a Christian, maybe doesn't have a lot of interest in being a Christian? What can we say to them? Well, we can remind them of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, that we reap what we sow. And we might ask that person to reflect on what happens if you have hate towards an individual. Do you think that's going to be good or bad? Do you think that's going to be productive or unproductive? Do you think that's going to better the situation or worsen the situation? And if people will pause and step back and reflect on that, generally speaking, they will come to the right conclusion. We can also show people, we can let people know who are not Christians, that there is a way to destroy their enemies. I think that would set a lot of people back. If you said to a person, that person you hate, that person who is your sworn enemy, how would you like to know how to destroy him? Yes, I want to know. You tell me. What can I do? Do I have to kill him? No. Not literally. But the Bible says you kill that person with kindness. Paul made that clear in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. He said you heap coals of fire on the head of that person. I remember several years ago there was a young lady in Texas. And she was familiar with that verse. She had a mother-in-law that she really didn't like. Mommy-in-law was an enemy. Someone that she had great hatred for. And she said, I'm going to be as nice to her as I can so God will make hell really hot for her. Well, that wasn't what God was saying in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. The idea is that it's not we're going to make hell a lot more unpleasant for our enemies. The idea is that kindness, the idea is the niceness, the love, the compassion, the good that we do for enemies, it melts their evil heart. And that's worked in many cases. Now, as we think about having an enemy, as we think about hatred, it is not the case that doing good to every enemy, treating people who hate in a nice way, is always going to eliminate hate. It doesn't always eliminate enemies. We know that because of Jesus. He was as kind, as thoughtful, as compassionate as anyone could ever be. And yet there were some people who were his enemies, who hated him enough to put him on the cross. But still, the Bible's tool, as far as kindness and love, to deal with enemies is the best place to live, the best way to live. This morning, if we are someone who is involved with hate, someone who sees people as an enemy, that's a sinful way to live. And yet the Bible says those sins can be forgiven. They have been forgiven in the past, and the power of Christ's blood is still as effective as it was in the past. A new year for us can begin a new year and a new way to live. To let go of the hatred, to begin treating an enemy in a new way. But you know, with that new year, hopefully we also have that new life. And the Bible says that new life is in Christ. If any man is in Christ, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. How wonderful that is to say, to hate, to having people as enemies, to the filth of the world, to sin, I'm going to leave that behind. That's not going to be the way that I try to live my life. I'm going to arise and walk in the newness of life, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. There is that belief in Christ, faith. There is that desire to turn from that old way. Let's leave the haters behind. Let's make sure that we're not involved with that. Let's confess that Christ is the Son of God, as a man did in Acts chapter 8. And then finally, to have the hate and all the other bad things washed away, the Bible says that we can arise, we can get up, we can be baptized, calling on his name, invoking his authority, being baptized, Acts 22, verse 16, and having our sins washed away. How great that is to arise and walk in the newness of life. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. This morning, where are we when it comes to hate? Where are we when it comes to enemies? Do we have some? Do we pray for them? Do we seek to do good for them? Do we want the best for them? Do we try to turn them into the kind of person that God wants them to be? And more importantly, are we trying to live in the kind of way that God calls on us to live? This morning, if we can help you with the issue of hate, if we can help you in your struggle with an enemy, help you in becoming a Christian, helping strengthen you in your Christian life, or aid you in some other way, will you let us know what we can do as we now stand and sing the selected song?